Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We do have Sam Lane on the line. Moddy, would you like to introduce Sam to our lovely listeners?
Delighted to. So Sam Lane, as we've mentioned a couple of times tonight, is one of the most experienced and well-known AFL journalists and presenters we have in the country. She's here with us tonight to chat about the release of her fabulous book, Raw, which is about the birth of AFLW. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Great to be with you.
We can see on the social media and all sorts of things that you've been pretty busy with Raw.
I don't think I've ever spoken so much about the one topic. And it's enjoyable. I mean, I've been incubating this book in earnest and was, you know, submitting a chapter a week to make this deadline so that it would come out at this time for season two. And so for it to actually exist, that is still, it's only a week old. It sounds like I'm talking about a baby.
It kind of is like birthing.
I suppose it is. I'm just looking at it going, wow.
Are you sleeping with it?
So it's nice. No, I haven't done that since the day I got my first one. And I'm not kidding. I actually spooned it.
Oh, great. Well, congratulations. So that's interesting you talk about it like that, because we were just musing before given this is your first book, had you always wanted to write one about the AFL, but it was AFLW that propelled you to do it?
Oh, gee, that's difficult to answer. I haven't really reflected like that. I don't know if I suppose I'd had in my mind, like, one day I'd like to write a book. I mean, I'm a journalist. I, you know, like most journalists who are in print at a newspaper, get frustrated at word length and getting subbed and all this. So it sort of felt like a nice idea that you could write long, really, really long form. But the truth is that the reason this came to be is that Penguin Publishing came to me and said, we think we'd love an AFLW book. What could you do? And so I watched that first season, and then I had a big think about it, and the rest is sort of history.
And what was it like? I mean, some of those women, you think about the wall they kept banging their head against for so many years. For me, it really made me appreciate the journey. And, I mean, as a team, we've just felt like we've jumped in on a wave. You know, what was it like interviewing some of those women and hearing their stories?
It was phenomenal. And, I mean, the way I approached this, once I picked who I wanted to feature in the chapters, and there are 11 subjects and 10 chapters, because I put Penny Cooler-Reed and Mia Ray Clifford, who are engaged together, I went to each party and tried to explain what I wanted to do and why I thought it could be a good thing and hoped it would be. And I essentially worked out that the best way to do this would be to ask each person to just sort of direct a day, like, where do you want to go? If we had a day together, where would you take me? And I have to credit Kirby Bentley with the reason why I took that approach, and it was a very good one because it just sort of got me straight to the heart of people if they're taking me to places that feel special and intimate to them. And, yeah, Kirby was the inspiration. She's the first chapter in my book in terms of the subjects. She said to me when I put this concept to her in front of her manager, she accepted, but then we walked outside of this cafe and she said, I'll do this on one condition. And I said, okay, what's that? And she said, well, I have to take you to country. You need to come to country.
Wow.
And what that resulted in was essentially the next time I was in Perth, the AFL men's, because I work Saturday night footy with the men's footy, Kirby was there at the airport. I went a bit early. She picked me up. She had two nieces in the back of some massive car. and we drove 4 hours to Mount Barker, where she comes from. And she took me to, I suppose, sites, places, and, to be truthful, a reality that I had never been exposed to in my life. You know, we visited family members along the way. I saw, she wanted to show me really where she came from so I could understand. And that trip really dictated the approach with the rest. So I'm not pretending that with all of them, you know, I got taken to some, you know, spiritual part of their life. But, you know, with Daisy Pierce, I started in her home in Bendigo. She was just annoyed that day because Foxtel hadn't turned up when they were meant to. Went to a local Whole Foods, had a tea, you know. And Craig Starkovich just sort of took me around to about four different places in Bruce Vegas, and Taylor Harris and I did a bit of a road trip as well. So this was a way of sort of fast-tracking knowledge of someone, and just, you know, I suppose as someone who likes to observe as well as ask questions, it gave me really fast insights and it did allow me ultimately to do what I needed to do, which was file one chapter a week.
Well, the Kirby story, I mean, that's almost a book in itself. It was a powerful, I suppose, you know, chapter, as you're calling it. And I don't think you could have got as deeply into it without going with her to country the way you did. And then it's almost, you know, and then at the end, you know, the lovely way she said to Michelle Cowan, you know, I can't play, I've done my knee, give my spot to someone else. I mean, she sounds an incredible person.
She is, and I'm pleased to say, I mean, I launched the book last Monday. I invited a few people. Kirby came over from Perth because she wanted to, and we actually, it was just one of those magic situations where there were about four people left at the end. One was my dad, another was a colleague, and Kirby. And I said to her at one point, what are you doing this afternoon? She said, I've got nothing on till 6:30. So we just walked around Chinatown, had a bowl of soup, you know, had a great chat. And so it's really nice, again, as a journo, to have been able to get these insights but not just disappear. You know, I've met people, and I'm not just saying women because Craig Starcevich was one of the subjects, who, you know, have been so generous with what they've shared, like really intimate things. I mean, there are two murders in the book, for instance, that occurred in families, just really personal things about wrestling with sexuality. I mean, Bette Goddard hadn't put on the record publicly until our interview for Raw that she was partnered to a woman who she intended to get married to. Then the yes vote hadn't gone through. But, you know, Beck just put that out there essentially on the table as we were eating a freakish salad, you know. So that happened. Debbie Lee spoke to me at length, and this is in the introduction. And she cried as she sat there opposite me, saying, one of my regrets was when I was president of the Victorian Women's Football League, the old one, that I, and she said that she encouraged women subtly to just keep their sexuality to themselves because she thought it was in the best interest of sport. That was always what she had front of mind, but she thought, we're up against it as it is. If you go sort of living the stereotype of what we know everyone thinks anyway, which counts against us, against this white dominant patriarchy, that we are gay women, you know, she said, this will not do us any good. But as she sat there in 2017 telling me this, just tears rolled down her eyes because what she was confessing to was something that she knows was actually damaging to her, but also potentially to a whole lot of others. So she really wanted to table that, and that was something really delicate and quite special, I thought, to actually document in a book like this.
Yeah, actually, we're part of the AFL Pride broadcast next week, and at between the Bulldogs and Carlton at Witten Oval.
And yeah, I heard that. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. And but what struck us this time, because we have done a similar broadcast with the men's games, is that the stories are much more personal. The women are talking about their partners and their families and their children, rather than, oh, I've got this sister that's gay, or I know I have a friend that's gay, or something like that. And what it means to them to be able to walk on the ground in rainbow Guernseys and celebrate who they are. Brie Davey, unfortunately, got injured last week, but she was talking about walking on the ground with Tilly and her partner, and at the media event. And you know, your book also made me realise that there's some women that still struggle to be open about that. I kind of assumed that people were out and able to be confident, but it made me realise there's still a bit of a way to go.
There really is, and that it is, you know, it's sensitive terrain, whether you're doing an interview on radio or whether you're doing it in with the relative luxury of having a long-form editing process in a book, which I had. I mean, it was a delicate thing to navigate, and yet I found, you know, there were three people that essentially came out in the book publicly. Katie Brennan was another one. So, you know, this is big stuff, and it's really important. And like you say, like just bring it back to the footy, it is the power of this and where the women's league is actually leading. Like it is leading the AFL on this front with people just being who they are, by light years, really.
We're talking to Sam Lane, and we're talking about her new book, Raw. Look, just to backtrack a bit, look, I read that bit about Debbie Lee, and I also had a bit of an emotional moment, and I think you handled their stories with grace. But I also noticed in the beginning of the book, you've also spoken to a lot of other people about the planning and the execution of the AFLW. Mm-hmm. I found that really mm-hmm. fascinating. Were you surprised about what was happening behind the scenes? Was this something that the media had knowledge of, or did you find out all this information in preparation or research for your book?
Do you mean in terms of the blocks that existed at the AFL?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, goodness, it doesn't take much to to think that there was something going on or not. And the fact is, it was not happening at a rate that it should have been. And I've said a few times that it is. I mean, it's a hallelujah moment that AFLW happened last year, but it happened too late. You know, this women have been playing organised footy games for more than 100 years in Australia, and so it. 2017 is actually quite late in the piece when you consider that. So, yes, I sensed there was, I mean, I knew there was a story there. I mean, of course, I've spoken to a whole lot of people who have worked at the AFL and left with certain experiences that actually left them feeling disillusioned. One of the women I've quoted who was really brave, I think, is Jane Holman. Mm. She, when she was appointed to the AFL, was the most senior woman in general management there at the time. And she tells me in the book about this meeting that she went to when Andrew Demetriou was CEO of the AFL, and she was horrified by the way she heard women's football spoken about. Now, Andrew Demetriou, I put the version of events as had been relayed to me. He denied that had happened, and he said he had always been supportive of women's football. So you've got two versions of history there. Jane also had the detail that she was so confronted and disturbed by what she heard that she actually took it upon herself straight after the meeting to talk to Andrew about what had happened in the meeting. Again, if there was a recollection of that, it was not noted by Andrew Demetriou in his response to me. So this is the kind of thing I guess I was all ears for. It's difficult to get that kind of information because, as I also note, the AFL is one of the most powerful institutions in Australia, let's face it. And so I think I use the line, you know, you stamp on the AFL and you stamp your papers for life kind of thing. So there were roadblocks. Sam Mostyn's been very candid as well, I think, speaking about how she was the first women female commissioner on the AFL board, essentially, and that she, when she began and started talking about women's football, she got short shrift when she'd raise ideas like going to present medals in Canberra at a women's national championships to AFL senior management. You know, the AFL commission headed by Mike Fitzpatrick got this earlier than the AFL executive did. And the truth is the AFL executive really sets the culture and the agenda for the AFL. So if your executive doesn't get it, they are not going to push it. So I say that's what the state of affairs was in very recent history.
Well, it's fantastic, isn't it, that all what you've listed in that first part, all those women have pushed it, and the men as well that you know have
the
really
women,
got behind
lots
it.
Lots of male champions. Yeah,
I mean it's awesome, and really for people like us, I think Fiona alluded to it earlier, is that you know we started our show at the start of last year.
Halfway through the year,
there's going to be a female because we all love footy of all types, and so we just thought
we were geniuses, blokes
footy, and then all of a sudden up comes AFLW, and as we've been riding the wave ever since, and we're delighted that people like yourself and all other journalists and people are also thrilled and clearly thrilled about it.
Mm, yeah, and it's because ultimately, you know, I've wondered why I don't want to play, but it's because it's actually making footy better.
I think I'm a bit beyond playing, actually.
I'm still waiting for my draft.
Yeah.
We're going to, Sam, have to jump off now, but we just want to thank you so much for coming on. You've got your great book out. If it was Christmas, we'd tell everyone to put it in their stocking. It's called Raw. It's at most bookshops, or I'm sure you can get it online. Would that be right?
Yeah, I'm thinking so. It's Penguin has put it out. So if you can't find it in your local bookshop, and I've got to confess, I have been walking into bookshops and checking it out. It's been in everyone I've seen, so this is a good sign. Actually, I'm in on the Mornington Peninsula at the moment. I stopped into Mornington and saw it there, so that's good.
Well,
yeah, so pick it up. I mean,
it's really enjoyable.
It's hopefully got something in it for a lot of people.
Yeah, congratulations on birthing your book.
Thanks for your support.
Oh, yeah, not at all.
Sam.
We'll see
You're
you
welcome.
At the games. Thanks very much.
See
Sam.
You at the footy.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.